mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. All beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy hood with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Good morning. And welcome to worship. My name is Pastor Rick Admiral. I'm the pastor of New Life Prison Church over at the Newton Correctional Facility. I've been here before. I've met many of you. If not, I'd like to meet you after the service and tell you more about what God's doing at the prison. But thank you for coming. Today we celebrate freedom. We celebrate freedom in America, but also the freedom that we have in Christ, because true freedom comes only through Christ, in Christ, and by Christ. And we in the church know that true freedom and the life that it can bring. We're glad that you're here this morning. I had a good drive here from Pella. Took about an hour to get here. It was a very enjoyable drive. As I was driving west down 163, there was a number of cars driving east down 163. Classic cars like Model Ts and Roadsters. And I'm not sure what's happening, but there must be some auto show somewhere because I got an eyeful of these classic cars. It was something to see. Good to see you this morning, and God calls you to worship. He says, today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And the God of heaven and earth greets you, people of God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord in the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Amen. As God has greeted you, please greet one another.
Fear divine,
torn world. Be bright in us the vision of days when war shall cease, when hatred and division give way to love and peace. Till dawns the morning glorious, when truth and justice reign, and Christ shall reign victorious o'er all the world's domain.
You may be seated. Before we dig into God's word and what he has to say in our lives, I'd like to tell you a few things about the amazing things that God is doing at the prison. And the first thing I want to mention is at New Life Prison Community, we had a baptism and profession of faith service in the month of June. And four men were baptized, and three more men professed their faith in Christ. So seven guys made a stand for Jesus Christ. It was quite something. It's always kind of humorous when we have baptism because we have it in the gymnasium, and it's right underneath the basketball hoop, and on the wall there's a sign that says, no dunking. And so I say to the guys, I'm going to dunk today. I don't mean to disregard the rules. I can't leap that high to shatter the backboard, but I can dunk someone in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To get dunked in the love of God is a good thing. Amen? And so God has been good to our prison congregation. He's shown us the way to change hearts and change lives through baptism, profession of faith. And afterwards, we gave each one a greeting card signed by the volunteers, encouraging them with a purpose-driven life and a verse of scripture on the greeting card. And we gave them a certificate, and I encouraged the guys to send that out or take it out sometime. And when they get released from prison, they can put that in a frame. It's a very nice certificate. Put it on their wall and say, I was baptized while I was in prison, and now I'm not going back there anymore. By the grace of God, I'm going to stay out, and I'm going to live for Christ on the outside. So God's doing great things. This Saturday, please pray for us, because what we're doing is a Christian rock concert. And we have a group out of Ottumwa, and it's called Piercing the Darkness. And these guys bring a big crowd. Last time, almost 200 guys showed up. And what they do is they play Christian rock music, like Newsboys or Big Daddy Weave, Casting Crowns, that kind of thing. They have their original music, but they also do cover band stuff from some of the CCM bands. And they do such a nice job. What they do is they'll give a set of their original music, and then they'll take an intermission where someone gives testimony and speaks to the guys, gives a message of hope and encouragement. And then the second half, they do a lot of praise and worship stuff, like what we sang today, like Revelation song or something similar to that. So that's coming up this Saturday at 2 in the afternoon. So please pray for us if it comes to mind that we're doing this rock concert, because it's probably our number one outreach event. A lot of the guys that show up are Christians, but there's a lot of non-Christians too, guys that practice other religions. Last time I remember there were some pagan guys, some Wiccan guys, some Buddhist guys, some Muslim guys, Latter-day Saints, you name it, they were showing up, atheists, but everybody wanted to hear the music. But tricky us, when they heard the music, they got bombarded with the gospel message as well. So it's really good. It's probably our number one outreach event, as I said earlier. At the end of July, I could use your prayers. I'll be riding in Ragbri for the third time. And I do it for two reasons. One is I love riding bike. I enjoy riding bicycle. Any other bike riders here today? Do you like riding bike? Any other Ragbriers here? All right, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. But the other reason I do it is to raise money for my ministry. We've done it for 5 years in a row now. I've got two other bike riders that do it with me. And what we do is collect sponsorship from people. So if you want to sponsor me for Ragbri, let me know after the service, and we'll get you plugged in that way. If you want to get plugged in some other way, we have a prayer team of over 100 people that are praying for the ministry each and every week. It operates mostly by email. My wife collects the prayer requests from the guys and then sends it out to the prayer warriors on the outside. So you can pray for us. You can become a volunteer if you like, or you can support us financially. There are many ways for you to participate. Please contact me afterwards if you want to be a part of a very powerful prison ministry. One final thing I want to say is the last time I was here, I brought along a guest with me named Purvis Miles, and he sang to you guys and gave testimony about how God has changed his life, how he's working at Vermeer, how he's living in Pella, how God has blessed him with a church and relationships that are positive. But anyway, you need to pray for Purvis, because Purvis has gone through some health crises lately. He was in the hospital for a couple of days with a mild stroke. The left side of his body, he had some tingling, and mild paralysis, not real severe, but just enough where he needed hospitalization and physical therapy. And so pray that God will continue to heal him and bring him back to work at Vermeer. He's missed a few days. And then, as you know, if we miss work, it also hurts us financially, too. So pray for his financial, spiritual, and physical health. That's Purvis Miles. If any of you want to talk to me about the ministry afterwards, I'd be glad to fill your ear with more details about the bike riding or about the baptisms or anything else that's been going on at the Newton Prison. Thank you for your support. At this time, we go to a time of confession and assurance of pardon. And in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And we have to admit that all of us are debtors to God. We are in desperate need of God's forgiveness of sins. So at this time, let's pray silently a confession of sin. Lord, in the silence, we listen carefully and we admit that we can hear your voice. Through the Holy Spirit, we can hear you whispering in our ear, "I love you. I forgive you. My grace is sufficient for you." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins. We confess that in this past week, we have not lived according to your word. We have said things, done things, and thought things that fall short of your obedience in Christ. Help us, Lord, to love for you. Help us, Lord, to live for you. Help us, Lord, to walk according to your commandments each and every day. May we walk by faith and not by sight. And may we encourage one another on towards love and good deeds. Lord, in your word, it says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. We claim those promises in Jesus Christ. And we know by faith, we believe in our hearts that we have been forgiven through the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. People of God, hear the good news. By the blood of Christ, by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins have been forgiven. Now live for God. The testimony of Scripture comes from the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. If you have your Bibles along, please turn to Revelation, the last chapter, chapter 22. And it looks like it's on the screen as well, so you can follow along on the screen. This is about an incredible vision of the kingdom, God's kingdom that is yet to come, that we look forward to with hope. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in that city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. In Christ's name alone, amen. The prophet has a dream of a new day. God gives the prophet a dream of what tomorrow can look like in the face of today. In the face of today's reality that falls short of God's glory, the prophet is given a great dream. And the dream is a dream of peace and justice. The dream is a dream of God's heavenly kingdom invading earth. The dream is a dream of restoration and healing for the nations. Not just our nation, but all the nations of the world need justice and peace. And so the prophet dreams a dream. But the dreams are not always popular with the masses. The dreams are not always popular with the majority of people because the majority prefer the status quo. Dreams can threaten the status quo and put us out of balance because we're used to things being the same. And we feel that transformative change can be a threat to our existence. But yet the prophet calls for change. The prophet calls because he has a dream given to him by the Holy Spirit. And the prophet John had a great dream. You have to realize that this dream, the book of Revelation, this apocalyptic dream was given to him when he was incarcerated, when he was imprisoned, when he was locked up for his faith on something like Alcatraz. Anybody ever heard of Alcatraz? It was an island off San Francisco. You can see it from San Francisco on a clear day. It's an island prison, and that's what John had. It was an ancient Alcatraz called Patmos. And on Patmos, he was locked up. He was incarcerated because of his faith. He was isolated by a sea of water from the churches that he loved, those seven churches of Revelation that you can read about in chapter 1 and 2. And John loved the churches, and it was very painful, very difficult for him to be separated from the churches. So God, to encourage him, to lift his spirit, gave him a dream. And it was a dream of a brand new day. It was a dream of heaven invading earth. It was a dream of God's kingdom coming in all its fullness, when God would have the victory over evil. Evil forces like the Roman emperor that sought to incarcerate him. But the Roman army, the Roman government, could not contain his dream. His dreams were free to dream. And God gave him this powerful dream, especially of healing for the nations, with green leaves on a tree that provided not only shade for the city, but life. They had healing leaves that would heal the nations, the prophet dreams. There are some prophets in the modern day, but they're very few and far between, and sometimes the prophet is threatened with violence, with threats of words and harm, even death. For example, Martin Luther King Jr. in the 20th century, back in the 1960s, he wanted change for this nation. And some people accused Martin Luther King, you don't like this country, you don't love this country, because you're unwilling to accept her the way she is. And Martin Luther King Jr. said, just the opposite. I love this country too much to leave it the same. I want to see it change into the image of something beautiful. I want to make it better. And so Martin Luther King, along with many others, many thousands of others, marched on Washington. And on the 100th anniversary of Abe Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves, Martin Luther King ascended the stairs of the Lincoln Memorial. And in the shadow of Abraham Lincoln's giant statue, he began to speak to the gathered masses. And when he spoke, it was a prophetic message. It was a prepared message on a manuscript that he had written out ahead of time, I think the night before. And on that sheet of paper were a lot of things about financial debts and how America had a promissory note to the Negroes, to the African Americans, because it failed to live up to the high standards of the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. Those rights and freedoms were being reserved only for white people like me, like many of us here today. But he said, these rights are for all of us, irregardless of skin color. And you owe us something. We have a debt. And we tried to cash this check, but the check came back insufficient funds. You failed to live up to your promises, and we're here today marching on Washington to cash that check. That promissory note that you've made to all the people. We want civil rights for everybody. But for some reason, this talk about insufficient funds and promissory notes and checks that didn't cash failed to register with the masses. It went in one ear and out the other, and the people just were not getting excited about what Martin Luther King Jr. had to say. So he changed gears. He moved into something different, and he moved into the dream speech of the prophet. And that's what we remember about this speech. We call it the I Have a Dream speech of August 1963 at the Capitol Mall in Washington, D.C., in the shadow of Abraham Lincoln by the Lincoln Memorial. And when he started that dream speech, he went into a powerful I Have a Dream Today language. It was so powerful, so important, and it goes like this. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. I have a dream today that one day this nation will be different than what it is now, that they won't be segregated, they won't be judged by the color of their skin, but they will be judged individually by the content of their character. No more sloppy stereotypes, no more sloppy racism, but we are called to justice. We are called to peace. We are called to have a dream. And that inspired the people there. They were fired up by what Martin Luther King Jr. had to say. And we are too today, to be honest with you. It's considered one of the greatest speeches of the 20th century. It was inspirational because he had a dream not only for his four little kids, but he had a dream for all of America, especially the South. He had a dream for the Red Hills of Georgia. He had a dream for Birmingham, Alabama. He had a dream for the dark streets of Mississippi, where racism was at its highest. Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream, but not everybody accepted that dream. There were still people in the South that resisted, people in the North that resisted too, and members of the KKK went to work and devised a plan to get back at Martin Luther King. And in Birmingham, Alabama, on a Sunday like today, a Sunday in September, a church was bombed in Birmingham, and four little girls were killed in the bombing. Four little Sunday school girls in their Sunday best were killed. They were ages 11 to 14. And that outraged the nation. How could someone do this? Has hate prevailed over love? Has violence prevailed over peace? What's wrong with this country? Why can't it be different? Why does bombing have to happen in the church? Why does violence have to happen within the holy sanctuary of the house of God? Sound familiar? A nation that fails to learn from its mistakes is destined to repeat them. And as we saw in Charleston, South Carolina, the bombing continues, the violence continues, and six women and three men lost their lives, including the pastor of the church at the AME Church, Emmanuel Church, in Charleston, South Carolina. You're well aware of what happened there. And we want to fly flags. We want to fly the white flag of peace. We want to fly the green flag of life. We want to fly the red flag of God's love in Jesus' blood. But hate-filled people want to fly other flags. For example, the killer down in Charleston, South Carolina, flew the Confederate flag instead of the American flag. I don't know if you've seen pictures of this, but he spit on the American flag and he burned the American flag and flew the Confederate flag instead. Now, some people like the Confederate flag. I don't. Some people like it because it's the rebel flag. It stands for Southern pride, and they feel like this is part of their identity, their country. They're rebels. They're from the South, and that's what they stand for. But not me. The Confederate flag stands for so much more. It stands for hate. It stands for violence. It stands for a time in which our nation was not united, but divided. A time of racism, a time of segregation, a time of slavery. And I can imagine for African American people to see that Confederate flag flying over the State House in the capital of South Carolina is quite offensive, especially in the light of what has happened in Charleston. Something needs to be done about this nation. We have a dream that this nation could be different. Perhaps one day we will improve, but perhaps, in my estimation, we've gotten worse instead of better. Look at what has happened in Baltimore, in Ferguson, Missouri, in Charleston, even in North Charleston. You can name off other places in which racism has reared its ugly head. But we have a dream that one day this nation will be different, that peace will prevail. John was given a dream, a beautiful dream. And it really stretches our imagination because it's not of this world. It's a reality that's very different from the world in which we live. Verse 1 says this, "The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, right down the middle of the great street of the city." Here's the city, the new Jerusalem that came down from heaven to earth, and right down the middle of the city is water. Now, didn't recently Des Moines have a bunch of flooding? And when we have water on the streets, we panic because we can't drive unless we got a boat, right? Or some amphibious vehicle. So we think that's a problem, but in God's estimation, it's not a problem. It's a city that's more like Venice than it is of Rome. If you remember Venice, Italy, Venice is where they have canals instead of streets. They use boats instead of cars. And here in the city of God, we have water. And in a dry climate, you can imagine that water is a blessing. In the Middle East, they were always looking for water. They were always looking for rain. And here is water, life-giving water to irrigate the land, coming right from the throne of God, coming right from the throne of the Lamb of God who gave his life to set us free. And so the source is of God, the giver of all good things, the giver of life, and it flows right down the street of the city. And amazingly, there's a tree of life there, much like in the Garden of Eden. It's a recreation. It's a renewal. It's a restoration of the beauty that persisted in Adam and Eve's day before they sinned. It's a reversal of the curse. And so here the tree of life is back, but it's not just on one bank. It's not just on the other bank. It's on both banks. How could it be that the tree is on both sides of the street, on both sides of the river, growing up with incredible fruitfulness? Not just having fruit once a year, but once a month. Every month comes fruit and production. 12 months out of the year, once a month, more fruit, more fruit, more fruit. It's productivity beyond our imagination. It's blessing of a great degree. And if you had a tree of this sort on this side of heaven, if you were a farmer and you had an orchard where it produced fruit once a month, it would make you a millionaire. You'd have a whole bunch of money. But in this story, it's not about money. It's more about God's purposes being fulfilled for this earth. God's purpose of renewal and restoration for the earth. Not just for our nation, not just for us individually, but for the world and all its peoples, for the nations of the earth, regardless of their views. And in John's day, this was really challenging the culture because the culture and everything, the society around it, was dominated by Rome, by the Roman emperor, by the Roman government, by the Roman army. Roman soldiers were on the Roman roads. Rome controlled the day. And that was part of the reason why John was locked up, because of his political views. He was considered unpatriotic because he refused to worship the imperial worship in which they worshiped Caesar as the son of the gods. He refused to do that. And instead, he professed that Jesus is Lord instead of Caesar is Lord. He professed that Jesus is the Son of God instead of Caesar being the Son of God. And for that, he was persecuted. He was put on the island of Patmos, separated from the churches that he loved. But God gave them this dream, this beautiful dream of a heavenly kingdom in which there would be no more curse. And the city was dominated by God. We get caught up in the details of the heavenly city, the gold streets, the river, the tree, everything about it. We get caught up in those details. But it's so much more. It's about God and about the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Earlier, I talked about baptism, and I said there's no dunking in the gym, and we disregard that. We baptize in the gym underneath the no dunking sign. Well, John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ, and when he saw Jesus coming to be baptized, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's what we need in this nation. We need the Lamb. We need Jesus Christ to take away the sin of the world, to remove the curse. And we long for that heavenly kingdom with hope, love, and peace. There will be no more night there. We'll shine like the sun. We'll have God to shine up the city. God will be the light of the city, and we'll glow with radiance and reflecting God's glory. It will be one incredible day. And on that beautiful tree that is on both banks of the river, it will have leaves. Leaves that energize, leaves that bring life, leaves that bring healing for the nations. That's what our nation needs right now, especially in the light of Charleston, Ferguson, and Baltimore. We need healing. We need to be healed. We need to be restored. We need leaves like the leaves on that beautiful tree. Those green leaves that provide life and healing for the peoples. Maybe the scripture resonates with me because of my mission at the prison. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the logo for New Life, but it's a leaf. It's a green leaf. And the green leaf speaks of growth in the prison. We don't give up hope for prisoners, but we have hope that they will be able to change their lives. That the green leaf symbolizes a new day for them, a day of restoration, a day of healing, a day of peace instead of violence in a criminal lifestyle. So I have this green leaf symbolize new life and the tree of life on my logo for New Life. And it's tempting to think that if we want healing for the nations, that we should go up to the powers that be. But God's Spirit calls us to go down to the people that are hurting. Instead of going to the powerful, we go to the powerless. Instead of going to the places where they're in control, we go to the places where they're out of control. We go to the homeless shelters. We go to the rough city streets. We go to the jails and the prisons, delivering the Word of God to those who need it the most. Let me tell you about some of the healing that's happening at New Life right now. One of my friends at the prison is named Bob, and Bob is in desperate need of forgiveness. And I gave him a book, and in the book in the chapel library, it's the Book of Forgiving, written by Desmond Tutu of South Africa. And Desmond Tutu knows a thing or two about forgiving because he lived through the dark days of apartheid. And he wrote another book called There Is No Future Without Forgiveness. And so I gave him this book, and he loved the book. He read it and reread it, especially the chapter that talked about self-forgiveness, especially the chapter that talked about forgiving yourself. Because Bob is ashamed that he's been locked up in prison again and again and again, that somehow he's been unable through willpower to break the cycle of recidivism. He's been unable through willpower to break the cycle of repeated incarceration. And his family wants to visit him. But he's saying no at this time because he has too much shame. He's unwilling to face his family. But God, through this book about forgiveness, is helping him to forgive himself. God is making his presence shown to him. And in so doing, I'm hoping that he'll be able to come face to face with his family and admit that he was wrong, but also say that we're still family, thick and thin, and I want to visit you. I'm sorry for what I've done, and I'm determined to live differently now. God is changing Bob from the inside out. Earlier, I talked about racism in this land, and Bob was one of the worst. He was a white supremacist. He hated black people, but now God is changing his heart. He's making him a lover of all people, regardless of color. God is changing Bob and bringing healing to the nations through the green leaf of the tree of life. There's another man who's receiving healing, and it's also about forgiveness. It's a man named Rob, and Rob is from Pella. And one of the toughest things about being locked up is being separated from our loved ones on the outside. And his loved ones last week went through something very difficult. It was in the newspaper. A gunman came to their house and demanded his stuff back. He said, "You've taken things that belong to me, now I want them back." And he threatened the people there, pointing a gun at them. And he didn't shoot anybody in the house, but he shot a dog. He shot the dog dead. And in the process, he also pointed the gun at a 9-month-old baby. And this 9-month-old baby was the child of the prisoner, Rob, that I work with. And as he told me this story, that's my 9-month-old that was in the story in the newspaper. That's my 9-month-old that had the gun pointed at him or her. And as he told that story, his eyes welled up with tears. But at the end of it, he says, "I'm trying to forgive this person. I'm praying that God will help me to forgive this gunman that came into my house unannounced." Can you imagine that? I think for myself, I would have a lot of bitterness of soul for a long period of time. But God is helping Rob to forgive this gunman. And he says, "I want something better for this guy. I want healing for the nations. This man is acting like a criminal. He's acting like me. But I want God to restore his life. And the same blessings that I have in Christ, I want him to have them too." Healing. What is God asking us to do? What is God requiring us to do? I think the two things that we can remember that we can take forth from this sermon are hope and pray. Hope for a better day. The prophet is full of hope, and that's why the prophet dreams. The prophet dreams of a grand and glorious day in which heaven will invade earth, in which the future will invade the present, in which God's kingdom will occupy earth and bring about peace and justice to this land. So I think we can hope. Hope not only for ourselves and our family, hope not only for our church and our nation, but hope for the world through the power of the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And pray. Pray for justice. Pray for peace. Pray that God will change you from the inside out to be a difference maker in this world. And pray most of all for the healing of the nations, because we know by faith that healing only comes about through God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen. We're going to go into a time of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, in the sermon, I encourage people to hope and pray. And we hope, Lord, we hope for a greater day. We hope for a day in which peace and justice will reign. We hope for a day in which the kingdom of God will be made manifest on this earth. And we pray, Lord, that you will equip our heads, our hearts, and our hands to do the will of God and to accomplish the purposes of God, the restoration, the healing that needs to take place within our nation and within our churches. Help us, Lord, to continue to pray. May we rejoice with those who rejoice. May we mourn with those who mourn. In the bulletin, I read about people who were given the gift of sight through cornea surgery, through other means. Sight was restored, and it was amazing. It says here, "My heart is singing with thanksgiving." Lord, you gave sight to at least 2 people, and you gave healing to others, and for that we give you thanks. You give sight to the blind. You give healing to the sick, and all these good gifts originate in you, for you are the author of all good things. We rejoice with the travelers, Lord. We realize that some of our congregation are traveling during this 4th of July holiday, during these summer months of summer vacation. And we ask, Lord, that you keep them safe. Keep them safe from exploding fireworks. Keep them safe from crashes on the highway, and return them, Lord, to us unharmed. May they be inspired by beauty on the road, beauty in nature, and beauty in people. And as they look at these things, may they realize that all beautiful things originate in you, that you are the one in creation before the fall to proclaim that it is good, it is very good. And so may they enjoy their time away and come back to us reinvigorated for the work ahead. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with cancer. Give them encouragement and give them hope. And we pray for all those with injuries or illnesses. I mentioned to the congregation Purvis Miles and his struggle with a mild stroke. Bless him and Diane, bless them both, and return him to work, Lord, this week. Get him back to the job, and may he be rehabilitated through the physical therapy and through your will. Thank you, Lord, for the serve team that has provided service that we'll hear about later. We ask you to give them encouragement and continue to bless them in their work for you and for others. We ask your blessing on this church, Lord. Give them encouragement as recently a pastor declined a call. But may they not be discouraged. May they continue to work to find a pastor of your choosing. And after all this is over, may the people understand that your will be done, that your kingdom come, and that the person of your choosing be found for the ministry here. Thank you, Lord, for all good gifts, for our families, for our nation, for our world. And we pray, Lord, that you encourage us in our spiritual walk. May we dedicate each step to you, our work, our play, our family life, our times of seriousness, our times of comedy, our times of bike riding, our times of athletic pursuit. May all our days be dedicated towards your purposes, O Lord. I pray that you bless the leadership of this church, not only the search committee, but also the teachers, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, elders and deacons. May you give them encouragement and help them in their leadership as well. Bless the church behind prison walls, Lord. We ask your blessing on churches in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Ionia, Michigan, and right here in Newton, Iowa. May you bless the prisoners, Lord. Help them to change their lives, not through sheer willpower, but through your power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, the serve team is invited forward.
So this is a group of kids from here that Betsy and I got together and headed up to Platte, South Dakota. There were about 60 people that were involved with that serve site. There were different groups from Colorado, Michigan, Minnesota, and South Dakota that were there with us. And we had an opportunity to meet a lot of really neat people there. And I think the kids will all agree that it was a group that worked hard and played hard, and it was a really, really fun week, as well as a week of a lot of growth for everybody. We took off 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, about 6 hours up to Platte. We stopped at that lovely scenic viewpoint that we all drive by every other time that we drive and took a few pictures there, had lunch in Sioux City, and set up camp at the Dakota Dunes High School. The organizers there did a really nice job. All of the kids and leaders were in different rooms. We got to meet a lot of people in our sleeping rooms. And also at dinner, you had to find your mug, and you sat with a different person for every meal. So of those 60 people, we really did get to meet a lot of them. Dylan Blackford's going to tell you a little bit about Platte. Jacob Van Coten is going to go over our serve theme. Bethany Dadisman, Stella Veldkamp, and Shannon Ostink are going to talk about the different work sites that we participated in. Emma Anderson is going to talk about our small groups. Kayla Owens about some of the fun activities that we did in the evenings. And then Jenny Meyer explains our day away. And then our other leader, Betsy DeBrien, is going to close up for us. We miss Brooke and Brett Altena. They weren't able to be here today. And so we decided we needed to pick a day when we could have a majority of us. So I'll let Dylan go from here.
So Platte, South Dakota is it's a pretty small town, about 1,300 people. Yeah, 1,300 people. They have one grocery store and one hospital, and they are very willing to pick up hitchhikers. And we really got to know them doing our various projects and just free time going around the town, because it's a very small town. You can walk everywhere, and it was just beautiful.
So the theme this year was the other 51, and what that means is that the 1 week we were on serve, all we did was serve, but we can't just have that 1 week a year. We have to do that all 52 weeks of the year, so we have to remember the other 51. And then our worship for while we were there is we would go to the church every night after dinner, and we would sing songs, and we would have a message and talk about it with our small group.
My group was the only group that got to go to this work site, but we went to a man, Dwayne. We went to his house, and he makes little wooden cars for underprivileged children, and he gives them out to people to send to like missionary sites like Honduras or Guatemala, and he gets all his supplies for free, and the deal was that if he makes money off the cars, then the person wasn't going to supply him with the wood and the wheels and stuff, so he gives out his cars for free, and we got to help make the cars and put the wheels and axles together and glue them. And the last day that we worked for him, he gave us all little New Testament Bibles, and he told us specifically not to keep them, to give them away. And I just thought it was really cool.
Okay, so my small group did a lot of painting, and that was really fun. And we painted a whole house, and we did a lot of scraping. And we also did priming, and we got to paint the inside of a house, too. We got to paint some walls and bathrooms and stuff, and we got paint all over ourselves, so that was pretty fun.
Okay, so almost every group got to go to this Indian reservation that was in Platte, and we got to do a VBS-like day camp for them. And we would play with the kids. We would go to a park that was nearby, and we would play with them. They could do crafts, and then we would come in, and they would have a lesson. And then on the first day, we, like, washed all the kids' feet, and it was really cool just to see the joy on their faces. And my group, we went to this house of a couple named Toot and Rosie, and Rosie had lost her leg while battling a disease that one in a million survived from. And she went to 17 different doctors, and none of them had heard of it. Finally, the 18th had and was able to help her. And she thanked God every day for her one good leg. And so we went to another house, and we shingled their roof. And that was a lot of work, and it was very difficult. But this joy on their faces made it all worth it. So, yeah.
All right, and as soon as we got there, we were put into small groups. And our small groups were always with people we didn't know, and I was lucky to have Pat as my leader this year. But our small group, usually the first night, you're all kind of like not talking in devotions. You kind of just sit there and look at each other because you don't know each other. But like by Monday after your first work site that you go to, we were having so much fun. We were playing games. We played this one game called Hey Cow, where you yelled at cows out the window and see if like, you could get the cows to move. And it was fun to... And it was fun to be able to bond with other people that you probably wouldn't have talked to if you weren't in the small group.
Okay, so some of the fun activities was swimming in the pool, a scavenger hunt that we got picked up for, the Olympics, square dancing, bigger or better, which is where you trade stuff for something that's bigger or that's better. A talent show, and eating nasty food combinations.
All right, so our day away was Thursday, and unlike other serves, we actually worked the first half of our day away, and that's when we did like a bunch of smaller jobs around the neighborhood. Like I know my group, we just dusted some shelves at a library. And then lunch was on our own. which was pretty cool because you got to make your own plans with people that you met throughout the week. And you could go, like, eat someplace with your youth group or your small group. I'm pretty sure most people went with their small groups. And there's, like, three places you could go eat, which was Pizza Ranch, this local diner called Shorty's, and then Boom's, which was a ice cream parlor. And so then after lunch, we all went down to the Missouri River for the rest of the day. And they had, like, five or six boats that people from around the community, like, volunteered to drive for us that day. And so we could choose between water skiing or tubing for, like, the next couple hours.
So as you can see, we had a lot of fun, but we were also able to grow spiritually and together as a group. We have to offer a couple of thank yous. There were a lot of people in the congregation that offered us their vehicles, so we thank you to those of you. We thank the congregation for your prayers and your financial support. We couldn't have done it without you guys. And you're going to get to see pictures of some of these wonderful things we've shared with you during the offertory. There'll be a slideshow. But right now we'd like to teach you a song that we have learned together in worship. It's called My Lighthouse, so we ask that you would join with us in singing.
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea.
Safe to shore.
Sounds like a great serve project. Thank you very much for sharing that. That was well articulated. At this time, the offering will be received for missionary support. Was the sunset, right? So what a great time. Thank you for sharing that. It looked like you had a lot of fun and did a whole lot of good out there. At this time, are there any announcements that anybody wants to make? Please come forward if there are any announcements. If not, let's have a closing song.
Come on. Okay. Do you have a benediction? Or this is our closing song.
Please rise. We can't forget about the blessing. People of God, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may absolutely overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pastor talked about healing and peace. We've done this song before, Dona Nobis. We're going to do it in a round. We've done it in a round before. We're going to split it in half, one side and then the other. That side will start. I'm going to try to play along to help out. If you get lost following, just follow somebody that you can hear. I'm going to sing it through one time first to kind of refresh it in your memory, and then that side will start, and then we'll follow. There's music. It's not perfectly easy to see, but if you're a musical person, the music will help you a little bit once we get it up there.
We need the slide with the music printed on it, if you can. It's gone?
The words are really difficult. Dona Nobis Pacem. Maybe.
Try Alt-Tab until you get to where you need to be.
Hey, there we go. All right.
Dona nobis pacem, pacem. Dona nobis pacem. Dona nobis pacem. Yeah.